Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On today's episode of One Shining Podcast, I and Kyle Mann, we are sitting here trying to get our thoughts together because we just watched the national championship game in Phoenix. We are a little bit bogged down by the reality that we have back-to-back national champion UConn Huskies to discuss. What an absolutely dominating performance. We're going to get into all that, all the sights and sounds from the tournament, just our general thoughts on what we just witnessed. So it's going to be a fun show. Kyle, anything else before we get into today's episode?
What a season. I've never been more locked in than I am right now.
I love it.
There's still so much room to go from here.
You're just wearing St. John stuff all over the place. I love it.
I got media seats. I got free water. I got sand in my shorts.
Got a Sprite.
I'm ready to go home, but we got to get through this first, the final push. But first,
Woody Durham.
He takes the timeout.
Welcome back to One Shining Podcast. It is Monday night, April 8th. We just watched the national championship game here in Phoenix. I am joined by Kyle Mann. We are just reeling from what we just witnessed. Kyle Mann, how are you doing? We made it back from the stadium. What a ride. What a journey. What a moment.
Yeah, we've reached that moment where there's the big, deep breath.
The one shining moment, some would say. Yeah.
Yeah, you exhale that one big, deep breath as the one shining moment ends and you realize there's not going to be college basketball for a while. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of feel alone and sad. That's kind of where I'm right now. I'm not trying to bring the show down or anything, but I don't know. Is reeling the right word? Like,
I think more of the traffic experience getting out of the stadium is what I'm reeling from, more so than the game. The game
Tate almost got out of the car to go heaviest quotes imaginable, see what was going on.
I just wanted to go see. I was going to go fact finding.
We were just like, yeah.
We're going to talk facts and figures from the national championship game, but I was about to fact find how traffic can be so bad.
Yeah.
But that's a sidetrack saw tonight. On the main track, we saw a Ricky Bobby-like coach on the sideline who said, if you're not first, you're last. Every single time UConn gets to the national championship game, they are 6-0. They end up winning. This is something that is, they've only been to 7 Final Fours. They've won 6 of them. That is not how the Blue Bloods typically work. You're a Kentucky guy. I'm a Carolina guy. We know how these Blue Bloods go. I mean, Carolina's 6-6, 50% when they get to a title game. Duke, to give an example, they have another Blue Blood, 5-6 when they get to the title game. UConn is its own animal. I've called them a new blood because it started in 1999. They beat one of the best Duke teams. But they are now in a conversation of their own in this new world. They have missed a lot of tournaments. tournaments in the 21st century, but they've also won a lot of tournaments. And now we sit here, UConn, the Huskies, in case you missed it, national champions for the sixth time in program history. My goodness. We saw it coming, but I'm still just wrapping my head around it.
I think we suspected it. I don't remember when, and I'm not going to act like we were like the only people saying it. I think it was kind of in the air, but like we were early on the like, this is going to happen.
And it
was
inevitable.
Like, it was kind of became the conversation of like who was going to get him, who had a chance to get him. We talked about it in real time as the field kind of whittled down and there were fewer and fewer teams left. It was just like, man, nobody's going to get him. It got to the point where it was like we were cheering for good games. Like we just wanted something to be interesting. And when you reach that level of like success and just sort of inevitability, like you were talking about, you know, that can feel a little Warriors-y, like a little death lineup of death. You know, the Warriors run, the dynasty run, where it got to the point where it was just like, well, this isn't even fun anymore. But, you know, it's not, I'm not saying they're quite to that level. But in terms of like villainy, it's pretty hilarious how like Michael Jackson, Smooth Criminal lean into this, like Dan Hurley is doing. You and I were joking about, he embraces it so much. You just get a little mesmerized. Like I was taking some video during the game and I was just watching him like, and you get a little mesmerized just by his antics, because it's every single play. And we were joking. I think it's a pretty good idea that maybe, you know, if Austin Butler hadn't been able to play the part, I think Dan Hurley could have been
a Harkonnen.
He could have been a Harkonnen.
Yeah, definitely. I think right now they are the Harkonnens of college basketball. And Dan Hurley is the madman who is the face of it all. But it all works. And it is a beautiful brand of basketball. I don't want to take away from the beauty of what UConn did. I mean, it was dominant. It felt like in the first half, if you were watching the game, first off, 70% Purdue fans in the building.
Huge.
Like Purdue owned the start of this game, very similar to how NC State did with the national anthem. But this was a Purdue crowd. They were loud. They were proud. They were making it known how they felt about this game. And the way that it started, Zach Edey and the way he played, you were saying to yourself, I think Purdue has a chance. In fact, at halftime, you probably look up and say Purdue played the better half, yet they're down six. That was the whole game in a nutshell.
We were saying that the whole first half, it was like Purdue had a lot of these big moments where we were seeing blood kind of thing where we were like, oh, they're mortal a little bit. Like maybe this could happen because they had that big guy in the middle. And we can kind of talk about the Edey and Klingon back and forth. Initially, there was the moment where, you know, Klingon, We've talked all tournament. I've talked ad nauseum about this, about refusing to let Edey go a straight line across the lane and get to that shot. And Klingon forced him almost up towards the free throw line and bothered the shot, made him take a long, awkward hook shot. And that seemed to, like, I don't know what was said in the Purdue huddle, but Edey came to life. We were like hitting each other like holy crap. I think he had a lob where he caught for a dunk. He got a big block.
It was a beautiful Braden Smith, like coming downhill alley oop, where he almost looked like something that would happen on the other end with Samson Johnson or Klingon, but it was Edey.
Yeah.
You said it was a Freaky Friday moment, like Klingon and Edey kind of switched.
It was a role reversal. Yeah, right. Where it was the opposite of what we expected. A Freaky Monday, where it was, I was like, is this going to happen? Are we going to get like 40 minutes of an out-of-body experience? But I think, you know, maybe this is a case, something similar. I don't know exactly what the game plan coming in was for you know, Hurley and for Murray and the UConn staff, but it's clear that they settled in and like stuck to their guns, because over the course of this game, I think a big part of this was they didn't have to overplay and they didn't have to overhelp. And I think what that did initially is, you know, it allowed Edey to get a lot of buckets. 27 post points in this game, which is their second highest total of the year. The only game where they had more was against Michigan State. And this was, there were only three hard doubles in this game. One of them, what you pointed out, seemed like it was just Cam Spencer going rogue.
Yeah. He had the autonomy. Like a lot of guys have a green light with the shot, which he does as well. But I think he has a green light on defense. If he sees something, he can attack something. And I think Dan Hurley, they have this weird connection with each other where it's almost like Avatar, where Dan Hurley is Cam Spencer on the court. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of madness going on. You mentioned the game plan from Hurley. I thought this was a great quote after the game. He said, quote, "We didn't want to give up threes. We didn't care if Edey took 25, 28 shots to get 35 points. The game plan was no Smith, no Lawyer, no Gillis, no Jones. Keep that group under 20 points, and they had no chance to win no matter what Edey did on the other end," because Edey did a lot. We're talking like Kareem, Bill Walton type numbers for Zach Edey. Like, he did a lot. So if you're trying to knock Edey for his performance, you're wrong. But that was the game plan, and they only take 7 threes in the game, and Foster Lawyer was basically missing in action. He was on the milk cart.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should talk about, like, why that was such an end point for Purdue's offense, I think, is because we talked about coming into this game that, like, on defense, we worried about them being able to contain the size, the speed, the physicality of UConn's handlers, and they are numerous. And in that offense, anybody can screen, anybody can handle the ball. There were times where, like, Diarra was screening for Spencer, or Spencer was screening for, you know, like, for Caravan. It varies, it rotates, it's dynamic, it's infuriating. And if you're trying to guard it, but, like, in over the course of that game, you know, once they stayed home, that size on the shooters, that size just engulfed them, and you just didn't see any creation, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing, like, Purdue just kept pounding it into Edey at the end of the game, and I was like, guys, you're down 17, like, this is just not gonna, but the problem is there was nowhere to go from there for Purdue, because if Edey is just going to be a single coverage guy and they're going to start trying to attack the basket, he's just kind of in the way down there. So I don't know, it was sort of a wall that they hit. I was more intrigued though by, like, defensively kind of what happened for Purdue too, that, like, the challenges that they hit seemed like they were just too tough to, well, they were too tough to overcome.
It was the length, really, you know, when it comes down to it. And I think Castle on Braden Smith, Castle guarded Sears in the Final Four game against Alabama. He decides to guard Braden Smith in this game. Braden Smith played well, but he needed someone to screen to get away from Castle. That's how much he was kind of nagging him and getting after him. He did make some great things happen. He did hit that 1 3, maybe should have taken some more threes. They had a nice little two-man game going where he was able to get some drives, either finish or throw the lob to Edey, or at least get him the ball. But in general, I mean, just the size of UConn wore them down. And in the first 12 minutes, and it's kind of funny, like, 23 seems to be like the moment where, like, you can stay in a game with UConn to about 23.
Did you write
points.
It down?
Yeah.
I wrote it down too. Yeah. Purdue led at 23-21 at 7:27 in the first half. And then at 14-15 in the second half, it was 47-34.
Right.
So they made a huge jump there. And basically, yeah.
And we saw with Illinois, like, yeah, they get to 23. It's 23-23. You're like looking, you and I are looking at each other. We're like, hey, we got a game in front of us. Maybe UConn has to play a close game. 30-0 run. Yeah. This game, it just, like, all of a sudden, you know, you get a backdoor cut. Tristan Newton finishes. Now it's a 5-point game. Then they hit a three. Now it's eight. Like, it just stretches so quickly and it snowballs so fast. And then you have this maniac who's on the court. I mean, like, Dan Hurley, let me just say, like, if you haven't seen it in person, boy, do you have a show to watch. I mean, you could just watch him the entire game and be mesmerized by it. He owns these officials. Like, Jeffrey Anderson, he called a clown a calendar year ago to his face and to the media and to everybody who would listen. And Jeffrey Anderson, this game's like, coach, Let me explain to you what this call is. Like, this is what you meant by the villainy. It's like Coach K left us. And by the end, the last 10 years, Coach K wasn't even what he once was. Dan Hurley, this is like 92K.
I think they want to be worse than Duke. That's what I think. I think I'm being serious. I'm certain.
I think so.
I don't even think it's like a just, well, that's just the way we are. No, I think Hurley's like, y'all are going to suffer. Like, this is going to be rough. It's going to be painful and it's going to be slow.
You better get us now because we're coming.
You better get us after our second one because we're about to rattle off 5 in a row. I don't even know. Yeah,
they've, like, come twice.
Yeah. Like, Danny, he keeps stabbing us. Yeah, it's just like, please.
Let it be over.
Get you now. Are you going to double the point totals? But, like, he had a moment even where, like, Edey was coming across the court and you said,
he finger pointed at him and said something to him, and then Edey said something back and he did the Dan Hurley chin move where he's like,
he kept doing the hook. Well, he was doing it almost like he was like Phil Donahue, how he would do those, like, those real melodramatic. Yeah, that's a dated reference.
I know,
but
I like
Dan Hurley, I didn't even watch that show. I've just seen the clips. Danny Hurley would, like, do these, like, really exaggerated elbows. And he wasn't even mad. He was just, like, kind of just doing, like, mocking the refs. But how in the heck is Anderson allowed to be on that game if he has that big of an open beef with Hurley? That's bizarre.
I guess a lot of people going into the game were thinking that Jeffrey Anderson was going to say, this is my moment to get you back. But it was the opposite of that. Like Hurley came out at one point. This is early in the game. He came out as the media timeout is being called into the middle of the court. He finger was, in the face to Jeffrey Anderson and probably said, "You're a clown. You know that I know you're a clown. And if you keep messing up my moment here, we're going to have a real problem." And from then on out, I mean, and look, it's not about officiating in this game. It was obviously outclassed. Like these were, I think, the two best teams of college basketball, but they're also two different tiers. There's tier one, UConn, a little bit of space, and then there's Purdue right there, which is no knock to Purdue. It is credit to UConn. But Dan Hurley in this game was a maestro. I mean, he owned every single moment. They never had any breaks. They had a great game plan, and they executed it to perfection. And Cam Spencer is, I don't know what you want to call him. He's a connector. Maybe that's why he's a glue guy, yeah. but the things that he does are hard to really, you know, put into words sometimes because it is so crucial to a winning team, and he does it like it's nothing. I mean, offensive rebounds, you know, he had one. Fletcher Lawyer, they were trying to get him involved in the game. Fletcher Lawyer had a straight line to the basket layup. Cam Spencer closes the space and knocks the ball off his leg out of bounds.
Yeah.
And you could just see Fletcher Lawyer's like, oh my God. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I can't get a break. Like, I finally had to look at the basket and I still get screwed in as a turnover.
Yeah. Parts one and two here. Part one, Cam Spencer basically had like, he bought the real estate. He bought that real estate. It was his. He was like in the paint, man. They couldn't do anything with him. He was super deliberate. He'd get him in the air. He got Edie in the air one time and threw a little dump to Klingon. And poor Fletcher Lawyer.
Early
man.
In the game.
I was watching this and it was just like repeatedly like Newton in ball screens. Like Newton was too big for Braden Smith and, you know, and he was too fast and too physical for Fletcher Lawyer. And it was an issue all night. They couldn't do anything with them. And what was really sad is that like, you know, when you were watching this, if you were wanting this to be a competitive game, it was like, you know, they get Klingon in some foul trouble and he's out for a second.
Right.
And then, you know, and UConn goes, heavy quotes again, small, and Johnson is at the five all of a sudden. And the first pick and roll, I know before the game I talked about how I thought that, like, you know, UConn would have Purdue's defenders on their heels and we maybe could see a lot of Klingon over the top in this game. Because I didn't know if Edie had seen anyone as big as Klingon. I don't think he has, but...
And vice versa, right? I think they both had like this feel out process of like, damn, you're big.
Yeah, there was the standoff circling with the guns up. Right. Yeah, the six shooters. And like, but the moment Johnson checked into the game, you could tell it was an issue for Edie. Mm-hmm. And that was a deflating moment where it was just like, okay, we got the guy out of the game. Johnson, if you've watched UConn all year, he's a lob machine. He's so fast at like quickly bumping those screens and going and catching over the top. And it was just kind of like, it was a deflating, you know, what was the UTG in this game? Where was the, we marked it. We got a lot of notes from people. I think it was the Caravan 3. It's frequently a Caravan 3. Yeah. What was it in this game?
To me, the Caravan 3 with about, it would end up making it 54-40 with about 9:40 to play. I mean, there's probably some moments before that you could point to. Edie airballed a free throw. That was my unfortunate. That's when I started saying it on the tip of my tongue. But I do think when Caravan hit that three, like you said, 54-40, 9:40 to play. Then Diarra scored on the next possession. Purdue took a timeout at 9:20, around 9:27 to play. The under eight's right there on the other side. That was Matt Painter saying, we need to stop the bleeding right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that was Dan Hurley saying, listen to me.
We need to start the
blood. The blood is coming.
Not enough blood.
Right. Yeah. I need more blood.
We need more blood.
I think a Caravan 3 would be the answer there. I did want to point out the Cam Heidi putback dunk.
Oh, my God.
One of the best putback dunks. And it was on Cam Spencer's head.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was
an impressive play.
I don't want to assume
Purdue,
too much
silver
here.
Linings. That was an incredible highlight.
I don't
want to
assume too much here. Poor Heidi couldn't. He had a hard time staying in front of some guys, too, in this game, Newton specifically. But, I do think that I probably yelled the loudest on press row when that happened. When that happened, I went, oh! I let out, like, I just, like, couldn't believe it. You probably have a bruise from where I hit you.
Dudes around me were doing the same thing. I don't think no one could help it. I think all decorum.
But I was the loudest, I think. I just want to say that.
You were definitely, like,
you know,
your
I love
reaction.
Ball, yeah. and I just want everyone to know that it was me. So Kyle, how dare you also? That was a crazy play. He was just in the right place.
He knew that Edie, like, it was one of those things where, if you know, you get familiar with guys that you play with, you kind of know, like, moments. It was like Edie was turning over his left shoulder, but he had two guys on him. And, like, the touch, I think he realized, he was like, this is not going in. You know what I mean? Like, but he was like, I'm going for the rebound. Edie kind of just, like, baseball threw it off the backboard, like a line drive. And when it came off, it just came at the, he was already up in the air, perfect time, and came straight into his hand, palm back. Threw it down. Great moment there for Purdue. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the unfortunately that's game, that would typically be one of those dunks where it's like, hey, maybe there's a chance they're still in the game, but they weren't.
I think the death rattle, really, like the total final last one, was like Purdue got desperate at, you know, at 7:16 left in the game, and they start pressing full court. And they start, but that also involved them playing up and trying to get steals, basically. And this is the maddening process and state of trying to guard UConn. The moment that they did that, Alex Caravan slips to the basket off of a Cam Spencer curl and gets a wide open two-handed dunk, thunderous into a thunderously great season. And UConn, like you said, six titles. It's incredible. It's feast or famine. It's been a lot of feast. You tend to forget the famines when, you know, like – And by famines, I mean the seasons where they just didn't do anything. But it's crazy, man. It's wild what he's done and how he's been able to sort of capitalize on Jim Calhoun's, like, just continue it and further it. He's a sought after commodity. I don't think he's going anywhere, honestly.
So. Yeah, he said if you want to talk about the Kentucky job, you can ask his wife. His wife is not here. We cannot ask her about it. But I thought that was a nice way to dodge the question there from Dan Early. I did think that was pretty good for you guys. History repeats itself. 2004, Emeka Okafor, Luke Sencher. We talked about this. They win the national championship. 2014, Kevin Ollie takes UConn. They win the national championship. Shabazz Napier, 10 years later, 2024, UConn wins the national championship. So every 10 years at this rate, 2034, mark it down in your FanDuel calendars. Put in the bet right now. UConn will win the national championship. Dan Hurley will probably be their head coach. So congratulations to him.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There has been, this is what the hater would say about this, because there's been some chatter. Is this the greatest run? Are we in dynasty territory? These sorts of things. So I do have to point this out to give some context for the people. UConn, they've beaten a 13 seed, 5 seed, 8 seed, 3 seed, 5 seed, another 5 seed, 16 seed, 9 seed. And this was a 3 seed, a 4 seed. And this was their first 1 or 2 seed that they have played in their past two tournaments. Even though they've beaten all these teams by double digits, this is their first 1 seed. And it happened to be the number 2, number 1 seed in this tournament. So I do feel like that was the validation that this UConn, you know, for anyone that's like, this is a Mickey Mouse run, they haven't played anybody. Like, they played the second best team in college basketball, a worthy adversary, And they didn't even play their best game and absolutely dominated them. So, I mean, I think that is where we're at the point where that is why Dan Hurley and UConn and this machine, you become villains when you're unstoppable. You know what I mean? Like that is where they are right now. And that is the conversation. And Dan Hurley, it feels like he's going to embrace that. I mean, I feel like he's not going to run away from that.
Feels like a safe bet. He spins it and he relishes it. I mean, I think that's the big thing here. And
right.
I'll be curious to see, you know, I'll be curious to see what happens when they lose most of the core. I mean, they're going to lose all the core of the championship teams from these past two runs because Florida did that. And Florida was really good for, you know, I think every team on the planet would have hired Billy Donovan back mm-hmm. in 2007. And it's going to be interesting to see when he had that run where it was, you know, the Humphrey and, you know, Corey Brewer and that group and Noah Toy and Horford Green, and Chris team. Richard and all those guys. But like, it'll be interesting to see how he reloads from here because, you know, there was a core of Newton and Kling in there and Caravan was there also in a lesser role. I'm just going to be fascinated to see how they reload because if this system stays the same, and they continue to teach players this system well, which seems to be a priority and it's on their mind. They seem to enjoy that they're like, yeah, we're really good. We have the most complex offense, like, and you can't do anything about it. A lot of college coaches worry about overburdening their players with too much thinking. You hear that sometimes. They're just like, no, we can handle it and we're going to handle you. I don't know. How quickly do you think that they're going to reload? That's a good question.
I think that they're going to be totally fine. And I think that next year there's a chance. I mean, I don't know where Caravan stands on, you know, maybe probably test the waters, but I think Caravan coming back, Newton is the one, obviously the most outstanding player. I want to give him his credit, give him his due. I mean, I think you can make the argument for some other guys, but Newton has been kind of, when everyone's trying to figure out who to give credit to on this UConn team, it does feel like Tristan Newton was the de facto guy. Sanogo last year was that guy, even though you could Jackson or, you know, Hawkins, whoever mm-hmm. it is. I think they'll find the pieces. I know Hurley said he's been trying to keep winning so he doesn't have to worry about the portal. The good news is when you're this type of team and you're defending champs, they will come to you. If you build it, they will come, which is a theme. Dan Hurley has built it, and they are going to find him, and they're going to want to play for him. And I do think the image makeover that Dan Hurley did from a defensive coach who's basically like, I don't care about offense, defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. What he has become as like someone now running the most complex offense that we're all looking at and saying, man, why can't every team run these stacked actions and have this sort of motion and play this team basketball? It's so beautiful. That's kudos to him because that is not an easy thing to implement. It's also not an easy thing to stick to when the going gets tough, and they did, and now they're two-time national champs.
I'm still going to be fascinated too to see if anybody comes after his staff because that's one thing that has yet
Luke
to happen.
Murray.
That, like, he is a great staff. Right. Like Hurley is an incredible coach too, but you know, I think the quality of their staff is a big part of this too. Yeah, like I'm surprised the team hasn't come calling for Luke Murray for a head job, honestly. So we'll see what happens with that, but I don't feel like we're slowing down. I'll have to see it to believe it, which is a testament to how much, you know, it's almost Spursian where you're just like, they're going to do it. Don't doubt them.
Don't doubt them. The game was not great, in case you're picking up what we're putting down here, because UConn dominated. But the best game within the game that we saw here actually happened off the court. It happened in the crowd. Yeah. Bill Murray versus Drew Brees. Whoever was cutting this, the live director in stadium, what a great job. It was a fan showdown. Like I said, a lot of Purdue fans in there. Drew Brees getting all the love. They were basically battling amongst the fans. Bill Murray, crowd goes crazy. Back to Drew Brees, back to Bill Murray, you know, back and forth. Will they take the shirt off? Just a great just back and forth. It was the best battle between Purdue and UConn we saw all night. So I wanted to shout out both those guys.
Yeah, Brees kind of brought some levity and positivity
right.
to a moment.
He's like, guys, we're just happy to be
where
here.
The stench of death was in the air. The Purdue fans were sitting down. You remember that one Purdue? You were like, look at that Purdue fan. He like had turned around.
He was
like,
crying.
He wanted to get out of there.
Right.
We overheard some Purdue fans as we were leaving. It wasn't even a game. That was so embarrassing. A lot of tough. Sort of like not sober anger, I think, as we were leaving. Hopefully they can rest. I was asking some Purdue fans like before. I was like, do you expect to be here again? I don't know. What do you think? Is Zach Edey that generational of a player? Or what do you think about Purdue?
There's got to be another 7'4" Canadian out there that they can bring in and that they can train and turn him into this type of player. I think for Matt Painter's sake, I mean, the good news is Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, will be back. I mean, that is your backcourt. That is your core. I've always said they weren't going to win anything until they were juniors. I think they were ahead of schedule this year. So, I mean, they're going to reload. He's always found a way, at least in the past decade, Matt Painter, to find these bigs and be able to implement them and run his system, which is also a beautiful brand of basketball. Mm-hmm. They play great team basketball. They just have physical limitations that once they get up against a team like UConn, who also plays a beautiful brand of basketball and has physical gifts on top of it, it's hard to match up one-to-one, which is the big knock. And the Big Ten, I mean, it is a running joke at this point. Like, they are totally fine to be number two. You know what I mean? Like, they'll make it all the way to the title game and lose. And then they'll try to remind you years later when you're like, the Big Ten never does anything in March. They're like, hey, we have the most runner-ups of all time. Don't you dare besmirch the Big Ten. I feel bad that Purdue has to eat that a little bit because they have had a great year. They did make it to the national championship game, especially after losing to a 16 seed. So I think perspective will be good for Purdue. Like, a week later, they're going to look back and say, man, that was an awesome run. It's a bad taste in your mouth, especially to get just completely outclassed. But sometimes it's almost better to just get beat down than to, like, have a close game that you lose. Like, as someone who's had both sides, like with Texas A&M in the tournament years ago, it's like, okay, Rob Williams, that guy looks like an NBA player. I'm happy to just get completely beaten down as opposed to Chris Jenkins hitting a half-court shot. I mean, sometimes it's even worse when it hits like that.
Yeah,
so,
those were in different rounds. I mean, the A&M was a regional final, right?
Right. Or it was a second round. Okay, I'm just saying, like, in the tournament, sometimes you're just like, they were just the better team. You can go to sleep at night and be okay with that. I think Purdue fans will get to that point where it's just like, UConn was on a destination, which was not going to be stopped by anybody. And they do something for the first time since Billy Donovan was a coach in college basketball. Maybe we get Billy Donovan back to coaching college basketball, because we need somebody to defy Dan Hurley. Like,
that's,
we need some sort of
a
worthy adversary.
Maybe it'll be Hurley and Oates. Like, you know, I feel like that could be a nice little rivalry going forward.
Yeah, the protege and the master.
Yeah, that's that seems like something we could latch on to, Taylor.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Yeah. Any last thoughts? Any last big picture thoughts? I mean, we're going to digest the season. Obviously, these are our reactions for the national championship game. But just any lasting thoughts, any memories, sights, sounds that stick with you? And then we'll let people go enjoy their week, because officially it's over. The UConn Huskies are the national champs.
I had a great time, and you know, even though the on-court product didn't quite live up to what we did, it was my first, you know, Final Four in person, so I got to enjoy that as many as I've gotten to enjoy on TV.
You got Ian Eagle to give you a little shout out.
I ran into Ian.
I was walking
along the side of the court. Literally, this really jarred me. I was like walking, you know, right when halftime ends, Tate, now let's go get some water. And we're walking down, and as we're going,
go to our trough.
There are all these like electric fences, boundaries that you're going to get shocked by. If you take a step this way, they're like, listen here, buddy, get out of here, kill yourself. No, they don't say that. But I took one step onto the sideline, and I felt this like Uncle Leo clasp on my elbow, and I was like, oh man, how am I in trouble? What did I do? And I looked over, and it was Ian Eagle. It was like seconds after the broadcast went off, and I would, you know, just said hello and said hey and stuff. And I was blue. It was good to see him. Nice to meet Ian Eagle. It's I think hopefully we have an ally there with the voice of college basketball.
We need the voice of college basketball. We were calling him the Pope of college basketball, and we just felt like guys, you know, at the Vatican in Vatican City, they were like, he saw us.
I got a moment.
He talked to us. Oh, my God.
He thought about me.
Praise be to Ian. he's our guy. It was great to have him on the call. First Final Four for him. I will say this. I missed being able to hear Ian Eagle on the call when you're at the games and you're in the arena. That's the one thing you wish you could have, the broadcast. The broadcast is so great. Great to see everybody in person. Shout out to all the Big J's who were nice to us that talked about the show. Great to see some familiar faces that we know in this business and have everybody in Phoenix together. It was a fun Final Four. Next year, we're in San Antonio. A lot easier to navigate. We got the Riverwalk. That's going to be a lot of fun. So,
I forgot. He told me to tell you, Kyle, that he didn't look at your crotch.
Oh,
that was
good.
He wanted to be specific. I forgot. I needed to convey that message.
I'm just glad he didn't say it to me. I would have melted.
Yeah.
I would have just said, I'm sorry, and just walked away.
Right. But at least he wasn't looking.
If you are listening, Ian, I'm sorry.
Confirmed.
I never thought
like
you were.
Zach Edey was at the Wooden Awards. He's not looking.
Never thought he was a crotch looker. I just want to put that out there.
It was a great March Madness. It was a great run. Great tournament. Shout out to the UConn Huskies. You are the national champions. We will be talking about you ad nauseum. It's going to be a fun offseason. Portal talk, Kentucky, who's
going
to be the next head coach.
There's a lot going on in my life.
There
I'll
is a
that.
Lot going on in college basketball. We will be here covering it all. But for now, enjoy it. Savor it. We are sad that it's over, but we're also happy it happened again. Congratulations to Dan Hurley and the Huskies, and we will see you later in the week. Thanks again to our friends at FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.